be focusing on verses 13 through 18 this morning in our time left together. I'm not going to go 40 minutes, so don't worry. Oh, you guys are sweating it. But 35 might do us good. All right. I'm going to read from God's Word this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. This is God's Word. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of the archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord, always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that we can come and to worship you this morning, to sing praises to your name. Thank you for coming as a baby born of Mary into this world to show your great love and concern for us. But Lord, as we've studied these last few weeks, God, we know that that is linked directly to you coming to die to save us from our sins. We pray that this time would honor you, God, and that you would purify us from all ungodliness. For your name's sake, Jesus, in your name, amen. So in our time together this morning, we're going to focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And typically, this is a passage that I like to read at funeral services, which is not what we're at this morning, but it does give us a lot of hope, I think. So this passage is a passage about hope, because as we've seen in the last few weeks, we have gained a lot of things from Jesus. In fact, we've gained all of our lives from Jesus. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, that Jesus does bring us hope. We focused in the last weeks on the grace Jesus brings us, the transformation Jesus brings us, the fellowship Jesus brings us, and now this morning, the hope that Jesus does bring us. Because I believe that there is much around this time of year that does leave us hopeless. A lot of people are hurting. Loved ones have been lost this last year. And this makes Christmas a very difficult time for us. So this morning, we're going to be challenged this morning to be encouraged with these early Christians of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. And that's how he begins this morning. He says, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So Paul is writing to this early church saying that there are those who have no hope. There's those without Christ Jesus. And we as believers are to grieve differently than them when we do lose someone that we love dearly, which we all have lost people that we love dearly. But we now are to grieve as believers, trusting in God, and have hope in this. Notice that he says there that this is focusing on, the whole focal point of this passage is those that are asleep. So the focus of this passage is those who in Christ have passed away, and how does he talk about them? He says those that are asleep, right? That's what he says. He doesn't say those that have passed on, but he's using this language. Paul's using this language numerous times throughout his book, and also the words of Jesus that simply says that they're asleep, which is giving us a direct link to that one day they're going to wake up, right? That's what that whole point is, that they are now asleep. Though they have physically died, one day, if they are in Christ Jesus, they will be raised to new life in him. That's how we have hope. It's this hope that we trust in, that we trust that this world is not the end stop on the line, that Jesus is coming again to raise us from the dead. And how do we know this? I'm glad you asked. Verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So we as Christians believe together and confess together that God will raise us up in new bodies. So we have hope. We have hope for those loved ones who have died in Christ Jesus. We have hope even for ourselves. If we were to all die this afternoon in Christ Jesus, what has he promised us here? The same thing that Jesus himself went through. That is death physically and then what? Resurrection to a new life. Isn't that what it says there? For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so through Jesus, God will bring with him, that is Jesus, those who have fallen asleep. So the encouragement for us is, if we have lost loved ones this morning, to know that if they are in Christ Jesus, they will be given a new body, a perfected body, an eternal body, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that will spend an eternity with Christ Jesus forever. We will be raised to this new life. This is the whole focal point of our faith, that Christ did not stay dead, but what did He do? He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and that gift is ours if we are in Christ Jesus, because it says that here. God will bring with Him those whom He has resurrected. I lost my place here. He will bring with Him those who He's resurrected who have fallen asleep. So Christ is going to bring with Him when He comes again. So this text is really focused on us having a new body to encourage those who have passed on before us who are in Christ. But it's also linked to the coming of Christ Jesus when we get that new body. And that's how He continues on here in verse 15 and following. Notice what He says. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord. So He's not just making this up, is He? He's not just like, well, this would be a really good thing to throw into the Bible if we all just got new bodies like Jesus did. He's not just throwing this in here. He firmly believes this because it's been passed down to Him from the Lord Himself. Notice that's what it says, by the word from the Lord. This is not His own creation. This is not Paul's creation, but He's saying, be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters. If you're in Christ, these things are true. You know how I know that? Because they came from Jesus Himself. So be encouraged in this, brothers and sisters. And then He connects this again with the second coming of Christ. For we declare this from the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who've fallen asleep. Well, what does He mean by that? Well, let's continue into verse 16, and I think He shows us. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is an encouraging passage for us as Christians. A lot of people are doom and gloom about the end of times, but this is, if you notice the last verse, verse 18, what is this there for? Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So is this supposed to be something of doom and gloom? No, this is supposed to encourage the saints. Well, getting back up here to the coming of Christ, that is to encourage us. Christ is going to return. That is should be encouragement for all of us as believers, and we do celebrate that and long for that day to come. This is going to be a loud, public, proud event when our Lord does return. Notice verse 16, the Lord Himself would descend from heaven. So picture this. Christ Himself is going to descend at the end of time from heaven. But who is going to be with Him? Those who are dead in Christ, right? Those who have died first. They're going to be caught up in their new resurrected bodies to welcome the Lord Jesus down. He is going to come. He is going to descend on the earth. And that, of course, is when the day of judgment does come. That is the day where there are no second chances. Everything is over with. Time and history will end there. But notice this, that Christ is returning. That is in this public and proud event. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, Jesus is going to return the same way that He left. In the glory of God the Father, He is going to return. But it's not just God Himself, but we are going to be celebrating, if we are in Christ, celebrating the return of our King. That He is going to be welcomed into His kingdom, crowned with glory and honor and praise and power. And that's simply what the verse 16 is telling us here. That Christ Jesus will descend with this loud, triumphal processional, and the world will know that the King has come. And guess what? Those who have died, and it might be all of us, but those who have died before us in Christ Jesus will be resurrected to new bodies to join Him in the air as He is welcomed in to His earthly kingdom. To, of course, judge the living and the dead. So Christ does return, but there is that priority given to those who have died in Christ first. They're going to be given new bodies. I don't have time to go through all that. There's a lot of mystery involved in this, but 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a good pointer on that. The perishable is going to give way to the imperishable. The eternal body is going to be given to us, the resurrected body, just like Jesus had, right? Jesus had a resurrected body, and so too we will have a resurrected body in the second coming of Christ. So those who are dead in Christ, which might be us, but we don't know that. We might still be on the second crew here in verse 15. Then we who are alive. So that's if Christ would return now, that would be us. If Christ would return at this moment, we would be those who are left. We're going to be caught up together too with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is a verse that's often been mistranslated and abused a lot, especially if you turn on the TV, preachers, which I often rail at. I'm sorry. There's a couple of one good one out there, maybe. But this is often confused. This is where the phrase rapture comes from, okay? It comes from the Latin word, or from the phrase here, being caught up together. So this catching up is often, like I said, abused, but I believe here we can get some clarity from this passage. Notice here that the Lord is bringing with Him those who are fallen asleep, verse 14. In verse 16, He's descending from heaven. And notice here that these saints who have been caught up in Christ Jesus are being caught up with Him in the clouds in their resurrected bodies. And then notice here that we who are left will also join them and meet the Lord in the air. So the Lord is not evaporating us out of this world into the next. What is He doing? He's descending upon the new heavens and new earth. He's coming down and recreating, making all things new, and we are joining with Him in this processional. And that's how we know that Christ Jesus is coming to rule and reign, and we are going to rule and reign with Him. I think it's interesting. I think this point hinges on the word to meet Him, or to meet the Lord in the air. To meet. Now, this is a Greek word that is often mistranslated here into our English, but it simply does mean, but the picture behind it is that when an emperor would come in ancient times, he would stop outside of the city walls of his city. And you know what would happen? The city people would go out and meet that emperor, especially if he's coming back from a victory. They would go out and have a big welcoming party of him coming back into the city victorious. That's what that word means in the Greek. So here you see this picture, don't you? Of us as believers gathering around and welcoming in our King into the city where He will be our King to rule and reign for all of eternity. So there's no evaporation or catching up and us leaving the earth, but it is the Lord descending. It's the Lord descending, and we are there to welcome and to greet Him, and there He will then judge the living and the dead. So in Christ Jesus, there would be a catching up, but yes, a catching up to come down, to welcome, to descend. Notice that from verse 16. The Lord will descend from heaven. These things will happen because the word of the Lord is sure and true. And so, at the end of verse 17, so we will always be with the Lord. There's no separation there. When Christ returns, if we are alive at that time, in an instant, in a moment, we will be changed into this resurrected body, this eternal body. I have no idea what that's going to be like, but it'll be better than the one I'm in now. Okay? Amen. Then we will be caught up with them to celebrate the Lord's coming here, and so we will be with the Lord always. That's in fact the picture of what's happening in Revelation 21 and 22. Right? The saints are with the Savior. We are celebrating Christ Jesus with Him. There's no separation, but we have become one. It's the consummation. If you think of it like this, we are in the betrothal period now, but we have to wait until our Savior, our bride, or our groom comes in order for this to be consummated, for us to be one. So we're in that period now, and then when Christ does return, this will be consummated together, and that is the feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb that is told to us in the book of Revelation. So this is all to encourage the believer. Do you see that? This should be encouraging to us this morning, especially those of us who have lost loved ones this last year in Christ Jesus. This passage is to turn our hearts to say, hey, this is not the end. Because when this book was written, there was a lot of people that said, man, you better live your best life now because at the end, it doesn't even really matter. There's no hope after you die. But what is Paul turning around and saying? He says, no, have hope. Have hope in Jesus. You know why? Because He will raise you from the dead. He will raise you. If you are in Christ, He will raise you from the dead. So have hope. And that's the implications this morning. I think there's a few that we can look at. And first is, Jesus gives us hope in death. Jesus does give us hope in death. So if you have lost a mom or dad or brother and sister or a loved one, a friend, someone that you were very close with this last year, and they were in Christ, then this story is true for them this morning, just as much as it is you. If you are in Christ, if you have given up yourself to follow Christ, if you have asked for the forgiveness and pardon of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you have been forgiven. You now can have hope, and you can grieve differently. say, I know that I will see this loved one again. Why? Because Jesus has promised us here that this person will be resurrected if they are in Christ. That's the important caveat there that we should not just toss around. The whole process of this text this morning is that we need to be in Christ. If we're not in Christ, then we have no hope. We will face the judgment and wrath of God that we neglected in Christ Jesus. But Christ is offering us that free hope this morning in Himself, saying, repent and turn to Me, believe in the work that I have done through My death on the cross and through My resurrection, and so that resurrection will be yours as well. So know this morning, that Jesus does know your loss. Jesus lost loved ones. He lost friends. Think of Lazarus. What did He do with Lazarus? He wept. He cried. He then raised him from the dead, which was a little picture of things to come, right? But He did weep and groan over this loss. So Jesus knows your heart. He knows the loss that does take place in your life. And He knows that void is going to be there, but He's there to comfort you. He's there to help you through this time, through this season. And we as a church are to do the same, to help and encourage one another and lift one another up. But to know ultimately this life is not the end. Amen? This life is not the end. And we have hope to know that there is something beyond this. As we all know deep down in our hearts, there is something more. So let us have hope now, even in our deaths. Because it's coming. Did you know that? Some of us are closer than others. And I don't mean that as but seriously. We do not know the time and place that we will pass on. So let us take comfort in this passage, knowing that if we're in Christ, then we have nothing to fear. We will be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we will leave and we will move on to eternity and then look forward together with that new and resurrected body that is to come. We are mainly just asleep, right? Until the Lord comes and resurrects our physical bodies. But we spiritually will go and be in the presence of the Lord. So I'll just say some other hopes that we can have this morning in the return of Christ, and then we will conclude this morning. But notice what Jesus gives us hope in His return. Again, the focal point of this passage is not the return of Jesus. It's to encourage believers who have lost loved ones. Do you see that? It's to encourage believers who have lost loved ones. But tied into that is the return of Christ and the resurrection of the body. So when Jesus comes, this will be encouraging to us. The curse of death will be finally thrown into the pit of hell. Death will be no more. As Jesus welcomes in this new kingdom that He has established here on this earth, only bits and pieces that we can see now, but where He will rule and reign for all of eternity, and death and hell will be no more. Our faith will be made sight. All of these things that we have placed our, well, I won't say all of these things, the person that we have placed our faith in, we will actually see. What will it be like when you do see your Savior face to face? I pray it will be a happy meeting there. I hope it will, as we stand before Him as our great judge, that we will be covered in His righteousness. Again, I point you to have faith in Christ. That's the hope here. Have faith in Jesus, because our faith one day is going to be made sight. Just as I am physically standing in front of you, so too you will physically stand before Jesus Christ, the King and ruler and judge of all things. Thirdly, all will be made right and true as Jesus rules with justice and righteousness. All the bad stuff that's taken place in world history is going to be judged rightly by the only true and right judge in world history, that is Jesus Christ, who is and over everything. So we look forward to true justice being had and true righteousness being had in Christ Jesus. And finally here, we'll live in new glorified bodies with our Creator and King, ones that we can celebrate Jesus and the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all of eternity. Right now, we can't do that. These bodies are a little screwed up. Would you agree? But one day, we're going to have that new physical body. I don't know what it's going to look like. I sure don't. Don't ask me what age you're going to be or what your hair color is going to be like. I don't know any of that, okay? The Bible doesn't tell you. Maybe you'll have hair. Maybe you won't. I don't know. But God in His Word is encouraging to us to say, this world is not the end. This world is not the end. Look to Jesus and live. But the main thing is here that you have faith in Christ. If you don't have faith in Christ, these gifts, these promises, this hope is not yours. So turn to Jesus. Repent of your sins and live. Give up yourself and live. If you're still holding on to something else besides Jesus to save you, that's not how it works. You have to give up all of who you are, the weight of your entire eternity, the weight of your entire existence now. It says, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. And then you receive the promises, the inheritance given to us through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. I hope that hope is yours this morning. Let's pray. God, you have been so merciful to us. You have been so kind to us. You have stepped into our world as a little baby. Not to stay as a little baby, but as one who would come to die for us, to forgive, to take away our sins, to offer forgiveness to us. I pray, O Jesus, that we would not take this time lightly, but that we would celebrate, just as we have sung about this morning, celebrate that you have come into the world to die, but not to stay dead, but to rise again. God, I pray that we would take this free gift seriously this morning, accept it, receive it, Father, and that it would change our lives. Jesus, thank you so much. In your name, amen.